Is Pentecost Sunday. As Jude mentioned, he didn't leave a lot of meat on this bone for me to pick on after preaching our ministry moment today, but we are 50 days from Easter. That's what Pentecost means. Pentecost means 50. But it was very spiritually significant in the Bible, and it still is spiritually significant. I want it not only to be significant for the church at large, but for it to be significant in your life. For Pentecost to be personally significant to you. So what is so significant about the Holy Spirit falling on the church? It's because Pentecost is the genesis of the church. You trace our spiritual genealogy back to Acts chapter 2. That is the beginning of the church. Long before there were arguments, long before there were fusses and factions, and long before there were different denominations, there were 120 that gathered in the upper room. Acts 2 is our spiritual pedigree. You've heard of 23andMe. I'm Acts 2andMe. Amen. It's my people. It's where I come from. It's where you come from. Because everyone who is claiming truth today came from these 120. And yet everyone who's claiming truth is so divided. So divided. We're arguing over all of the details and all of the different ideas because people be peopling. And man gets involved and turns what should be a move of God into a denomination, into a religion, into something that is not moving, but rather is stuck in the same place. You'll hear in a moment in Acts 2, as some has already been read in this service today, Peter is preaching. The Catholic Church declares that Peter was their first Pope. I just wonder, I've not been to a service in a while or anything at the Catholic Church, but does the Catholic Church look anything like Acts 2 in 2025? I know recently Pope Leo was elected. I have not had the opportunity to hear him preach just yet or offer homily just yet, but I wonder, does he preach the same message that Peter was preaching? And I'm not picking on the Catholic Church today. I have friends and people in my world that I respect highly their walk. Does that mean, though, that the Church Covington is Pentecostal? And if you're Baptist today or whatever your particular claimed persuasion is, just hold on for a moment. Is this church a Pentecostal church? I'm not into brands. I'm not into denominations. I'm not into being lumped into what people have turned church into. And I actually have some experience in this, because I have been around this all of my life, and I have seen just about everything. And just about is my disclaimer, because there's always room for somebody to surprise me. But I've seen just about everything. But usually when you think of the term Pentecostal, you're not thinking of Acts 2. You're thinking of whatever clip you saw on YouTube. You're thinking of some story you read about snake handling, or just some crazy expression and maybe hairdos. You're thinking all kinds of things. And I don't mind the term if it identifies me with those who were in the upper room. But for most people, Pentecost was either no makeup or too much makeup. And I'm not into either. I'm not a fan of either of those. However, I am not ashamed to be a part of those Acts 2 believers who were filled with and baptized in the Holy Spirit, because this is real and this is right and this is for you. I want you to know that today. This is for you. It's okay to desire this. It's okay to want this. It's okay to want this in your family. It's okay to want this for your children. It's not a stretch. That's what I'm preaching today for just a few moments. It's not a stretch. I've been around this my whole life. I got the t-shirt. I've got it in long sleeve, three-quarter sleeve, short sleeve. I've got all the t-shirts from all of the different camps that lay claim to spirit birth and all of those things. And I get it. The Spirit may make you nervous, and some of you are buckling your seatbelt. You're not quite sure where the pastor is going today. We are mindful of that. We are careful about that. I love what Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. He said, "Let things be done decently and in order." You can guarantee that I am going to live by that. I am going to honor the word and everything be done decently and in order. And you can say amen right there, because crazy makes me itch. I don't want anything to do with crazy. I don't like weird. So we will not be having weird at the church Covington. But I want to be careful. And I want you to be careful, because if we're not careful, we will miss an experience that God intended for us. We will miss everything that God has for us simply because someone took it too far, or someone misinterpreted, or someone developed some kind of a doctrine out of this that none of us agree with, and we'll throw the baby out with the bathwater if we are not careful. And so I encourage you today not to filter the book of Acts through the lens of your tradition. Tradition could be what they told you at your childhood church. I meet people all the time that come into this spirit-filled house, and they sense and they feel or they hear or they see things happening, and they're, wait a minute, I was raised in a church that told me all of that ended in the book of Acts. That was only for a certain time. That was only for the apostles. The theological term is cessationist. They believe that the gifts of the Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit ended with the book of Acts. There are 28 chapters in the book of Acts, but you and I are living in Acts 29. We are living in the continuation of the Spirit of the Lord. That's why you feel Him moving in this service today. That's why you feel this room breathing, inhaling and exhaling the breath of the Lord. That's why them doodads run up and down your arms and the hair stands up on the back of your neck. It's not the emotion of singers. It's not the skill of anybody speaking. It is the Spirit of the Lord. And I want to feel that in my life. I want to feel it. I want it to work and be alive and move in my life. So tradition should not be what someone taught or told me, because any tradition I have should be founded in the Bible. So here's a tradition for you. God says you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'll prove it. It's not a stretch. It's not a stretch from where you are right now. Acts chapter 2. Let me just hang out in these first four verses for just the time we have remaining today. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, again, as has been said, 50 days since the resurrection, they were all with one accord in one place. They are in the upper room. Most scholars believe that the upper room where the Spirit fell was the same room where Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. I'll take that a step further because many scholars believe that this upper room was connected to Nicodemus' house. You remember John chapter 3, I believe it is, when Nicodemus came by night asking Jesus, hey, how should I, what do I need to do to be saved? How? Jesus said, you need to be born of water and spirit. And Nicodemus starts having this conversation. You mean I've got to enter back into my mother's, what do you mean born again? No, everyone that is born of water and born of spirit. The spirit blows where it lives. They have that conversation. Many believe that this upper room was connected because Nicodemus was a wealthy man. He had a large house, and they believe this upper room was connected to his home, and that is where this spiritual experience is happening. Verse 2 says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a sound from heaven. Can I just tell you that church has always been loud? It's not just this church. Church has always been loud. There's always been volume around the church. There came a sound that everyone could hear, a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. It filled the whole house. It filled church kids on this wing. It filled church youth out there in the loft. It filled church cares where they'll be serving dozens and dozens of families food tomorrow. It filled the offices. It filled every lobbyway. It filled the whole house. I need you to know something today. The Holy Spirit at the Church Covington is not relegated just to the altar. It's not relegated just to this platform where a few singers engage you in worship. It filled the whole house. I believe the Holy Spirit is parked in your parking space. And when you open your door to get in, he gonna slide in the car with you so that he can go back to your house and go to your home. Does anybody want his Spirit to fill your whole house? I understand. I love the house of God. I ask you every week, are you glad to be in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord? I love. There's something special about this. There's something holy about this. I believe I'm standing on holy ground. I love to come to the church. I love to stop by the house of the Lord. But hear me, this is not the only place where the Spirit of the Lord resides. He wants to be in your office with you. He wants to be in your car with you. He wants to be at school with you. He wants to be at the park with you. He wants to be at Walmart with you. Yes, the Holy Ghost will go to Walmart too. He wants to be everywhere you are. It's Pentecost Sunday. Did y'all think I was just going to talk quietly today? Surely not. It filled the whole house, top to bottom, everywhere. The Holy Spirit filled the house. Then there appeared unto them divided tongues, because it was collective and it was individual at the same time. That's where many of you are. You're good with the collective. You're good with coming to a church where it can be felt. You're not sure you're interested in the divided part, meaning the fire setting on you individually. You're good with it. You're good standing at a distance saying, oh, look, somebody getting blessed. Look over there, somebody's being touched. But if it gets divided out and comes and sets on your seat, comes to your row, comes to where you are, the Bible says that when he showed up, there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one set upon each of them. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. I don't know who needs him today. I don't know who wants him today, but I see him coming into this room and touching every single person, every single heart, every single life. If you want it, just say, Lord, I want it. Don't pass me by. Don't miss my road. Lord, I want to be touched by your Spirit. It's set upon each of them. Every single person was touched. Wasn't just the 12 apostles. It wasn't just a few of the elite. It was everybody. Mary was in the upper room. The mother of Jesus was in the upper room. Everyone was there receiving from the Lord. That's what verse 4 tells us. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All. Everyone was filled. Pastor Dale, I heard my grandmama talk about that. She knew about that, but I don't know about that. Everyone was filled and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you have different expressions of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Again, 28 chapters. But in these 28 chapters, I find about seven different expressions of the Holy Spirit. In other words, they're talking about the same thing. Luke writing the book of Acts, he's talking about the same experience, but he mentions it in different ways. He expresses it in different ways. They were baptized with the Spirit. That's one expression. They were filled with the Spirit. The Spirit fell on people. The Spirit came upon people. The Spirit rested. All of these are in the 28 chapters of the book of Acts. The Spirit was poured out, it says. And number 7, the Bible says they received the Holy Spirit. 7 different ways of expressing the Holy Spirit. Why are there different expressions? Why does it happen differently to different people? Because we're all different people. The way you feel it, the way you experience it, the way it happens in your life, it is based on your emotional makeup. It's based on who you are. Some people are loud. Some people are quiet. There are dancers. There are kneelers. Everybody receives him differently. The trouble is when we want everyone to respond just like we do. Because jumpers want everyone else to jump too. Criers, weepers, they don't understand why you're not crying also. So we tend to judge everyone by our own emotional response. I want to do away with that. I don't even feel like it exists at the Church Covington. And I thank God that this is a diverse house and there are people who just sit quietly in the presence of the Lord, and there's other people that they'll holler if they have to, and that's all right. I want those sitting quietly and those that feel like they need to hide. We're all in this together. We're all serving and worshiping and celebrating the same Savior who has done incredible and powerful things in our life. Just look at somebody and tell them, you do you, boo. You do what you need to do. You worship the way you need to worship. And if your row is too loud, you know what? Somebody will tip their finger and find a quieter row. It doesn't mean they don't love you. It doesn't mean they're offended at you. They're not. They just need a quiet row. Whatever it is, it does not matter. We're just glad you're in the house of the Lord and you're allowing the Spirit of the Lord to touch your life. But as you can see, we're in good company. The church has strong roots. This church, where the church you're sitting in, was established in the 1940s. The name has changed. There's been different iterations. The location has changed. The pastor has changed. But the roots... The roots, there may have been a season, I can't speak for everything and everybody. There may have been a season where others chopped on those roots, but today we remain. And we are connected. We are growing, not only numerically, but spiritually. Because we are connected to that Acts 2 church. Connected. But we read in Acts 2. But if you jump ahead another 17 chapters, which is approximately 24 years from Acts 2 to Acts 19, 24-year span. There's lots of history, and there's lots happening in that Acts 2. Paul was alive then as well, but he was on the other side. He was playing for the other team, if you will. Paul was persecuting the church. He was a part of those who were trying to take the lives of the apostles and just, you know, do everything he could to stop the church. But now Paul has had his own experience with God. And now Paul is preaching and teaching and writing and helping lead the New Testament church. It's fascinating. It's amazing. It's amazing who you used to be and who you are now. Anybody glad for the goodness of the Lord? And such were some of you. It's not a stretch. It's not a stretch. It's not a stretch that where you were and where you are now. But Paul goes into a church to preach and something feels off. It's what's happening in Acts 19. You ever just feel the ick? You just go in somewhere and it's like, ooh, something doesn't feel right. Something feels off. This doesn't feel like it's supposed to feel. I see church on the outside sign. I see lights. These chairs look familiar, but something feels off. Just real quick, let me just say that. Feeling the Holy Spirit is more important than anything else. Making sure you have that connection in the presence of the Lord. You can have moving lights and no move of God. They may sing your favorite songs, but there is no oil on those songs. That's a nope for me. I'm out. I don't want any more of that. And that's what's happened to Paul in Acts 19, just 24 years removed from the upper room. Let me read it, Acts 19 and 2. Paul asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? These are believers. These are people who have an experience with the Lord. These are people who are living disciplined lives. They are Christians, if you will. They are committed church people, if you will. They're disciples. They believe in Jesus, but they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. They were doing ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't recommend doing ministry without the Holy Spirit. In fact, I don't recommend doing anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. But it happens. It happens in churches all the time. You see, the world needs Jesus, but the church needs the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I wish I had time to preach today. Because when the Spirit is not moving, people have to create, people have to manufacture a feeling in the flesh. And when that happens, churches become very soulish rather than spiritual. It becomes form over function. Paul described this to Timothy. He said they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, deny the power thereof. He said, have nothing to do with those people. And that plays out in so many ways. I've seen this happen in so many different ways. Maybe you've heard preachers who preach real angry. They have a really stern scowl on their face, and they get really loud, but there is no anointing. There is no presence of God falling. There is no result. There is no response to what what God would rather do. And you see lots of spit, but there is no spirit. What's happening? Someone is overcompensating. I got to make up in volume what I lack in anointing. And so we turn the music up and we turn the lights down, and maybe we can fool people into thinking this is a move of God. But nothing is actually moving. And that goes the other way as well. You have people that are so progressive that they cannot afford any spiritual response ever. I've felt that pressure so many times. Usually it happens when we have a house full of guests. You know the Spirit's not going to act out until your guest comes, right? It's like a law of church. It's not till your guest finally says yes that the church is going to act crazy. It's just a rule. It's the way it's supposed to happen. And again, everything done decently and in order, but I just wonder if we're trying to protect them from feeling what the Lord wants them to feel. I wonder sometimes if we're so concerned about what they're going to think or how they are going to respond that it's actually what the Lord wants them to see and what the Lord wants them to experience. I was at a conference just in the last couple of years, and I respect these people. I admire what they've done, but if you want to talk about the overcorrecting in the body of Christ, the man preaching in the conference, and there were thousands of people in this service, the man preaching about the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he wasn't preaching about leadership principles. He wasn't preaching fill in the blank. He was preaching about the power of the Holy Spirit. And there was a man just a few rows in front of me that started being touched by the Holy Spirit. I found out later this is a man who did not have the Holy Spirit, but the Lord was filling him with the Holy Spirit. And I watched all of this happen because I was sitting with the pastor and with all of that, and I saw the pastor lean over to his assistant and nod, and that assistant went and got that man by the shoulders, that man who was being touched by the power of the Holy Ghost, that man who is just, he wasn't out of order, he wasn't clearing chairs out, he wasn't bothering anybody. It was just the result of the preached word of God. What was being preached was actually happening in the house. But I watched the assistant. Don't get any ideas, anybody. I watched the assistant physically pick that man up and move him out into the lobby. Why? Because we can't actually see happen what we're preaching about. We can't actually experience. We just want a form of godliness, but we don't actually want the power. Y'all feel what just walked in this room? And I understand, I as the pastor, I'm responsible for the Spirit is subject to the prophet. I understand the word. I'm responsible on some level, and I carry that responsibility very carefully. I walk very timid in that. I'm responsible at some level for managing some of those things and trying to teach some of that so that you understand, because there are people in this room right now for the very first time hearing anything like this, and I've got that in my mind always. Someone's hearing this. Have you explained that clearly enough? Have you been careful enough in how? And then somebody is about to respond. Are they going to understand this? And at some point, you just have to throw your hands up in the air and say, Lord, if you drew them in this service, you must have wanted them to see it happen. Because I'm a decent pastor, but I'm a terrible savior. Nobody even said amen on decent pastor. That's all right. I'll be out here on this limb all by myself. I'm not worried. I'll eat lunch alone today. Spirit of the Lord, you're welcome here. Breath of God, breathe here. Spirit, fall here. That's what Andretta was doing today, leading worship. Many of those songs not even planned, not even prepared, not even rehearsed ahead of time. She's trying to create an atmosphere, trying to set a table, trying to open up the channel between our spirit and the spirit of the Lord, to get us in a posture, to get us in a place where we can accept and we can receive and we can experience the presence of the Lord. Paul said, I'm meeting disciples who are doing ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believe? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. We don't even know what you're talking about, Paul. And ironically, this is where the church is. Still, some 2,000 years later. What happened 24 years after the upper room is still happening 2,000 years later. I didn't even know that was for me. Wait a minute, I didn't know. I mean, I've heard you say Holy Spirit, but I didn't know that was an experience that I could have in my life. I didn't know that was something God wanted to do in my life. But hear me. God should be experienced in every way in your life. I don't want to just talk about him. I don't want to just tell stories of long ago. I want to experience him today. I want to experience him today. I was preaching in Springfield, Missouri. Pastor Tyler Pageant, he's preached here for us. Courageous Church, great, great church. We were doing something called Big Wednesday, and they have multiple campuses, and on a big Wednesday, all the camp, they come in. This building was packed, floor, balcony. The lobby doors were opened up. There were seating out in the lobby. People were watching on monitors and screens. And when I tell you, the Holy Ghost fell in that room. And if you've never experienced this, if you've never seen this, it's all right. But when he falls like that, when it is something sovereign, Ecclesiastes talked about the priest not being able to stand and minister any longer. It's that kind of just, there was not another word to be said. There was not a point to be preached. There was not a song to be sung. It was a sound from heaven. And I watched all over that room, out in that lobby, in that balcony, just one after another. People that just bent over in their seat, people that stood on their feet, people that moved to an aisle, people that went straight to their face, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was sovereign. There were food trucks parked outside waiting to after party. Never got to the food trucks. There were bounce houses for kids. No one was jumping. Everyone was in that church being filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a man, it was his first time at church. There was a couple of different people. One guy was some YouTube influencer. kid, makes like $1 million a month. Jude, can you figure out how to do that, son? Anybody, please. First time in church. God filling him with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Tyler told me, we're praying, and he said it was so crazy. He said, but I go to pray with this man, a first time guest. This man was the co-worker of another man in the church. They're working on a job, and that man said that the co-worker had ridden with him in the company vehicle. He looks, I gotta go. Church, I gotta get to church. And come on, let's go. Pack up your stuff. I gotta drop you back at your vehicle. And the guy said, No, you don't have time, you're gonna be late. I'll just go to church with you. And the guy said, Are you sure? I mean, we've never talked about church. Yeah, I'll just go with you. It's fine. It's no big deal. I'll just go with you. That guy is sitting right back over here, and my friend Tyler is praying with people and goes to pray with this guy, and he said he heard the Lord. Some of you gonna think I'm crazy. But he said, I heard the Lord tell me, we prayed it last week, God, speak to me. I heard the Lord tell me, speak in tongues over this man. Tyler said, that Lord, that's not how I roll. That's not my style. No. And the Lord again said, speak in tongues over this man. Tyler said, what else was there? I'm obeying the Lord. I just start praying. I'm not yelling at him. I'm just talking. I don't know. This sounds weird, but I'm speaking in tongues. And as soon as he says a few words in tongues, that man who had his eyes closed opens his eyes and looks at him. And Tyler's like, I knew it. This guy's never coming back. Lord, look what you've done now. And the man said, what did you just say? I don't know. But he continues speaking in tongues, and the man is looking at him, and he's nodding his head, and he's shaking his head. And God filled that man with the Holy Spirit. Powerful. But it's after they finished praying. The man asked my friend, he said, how did you learn my language? Tyler said, I don't know your language. This may be hard to explain to you, but God told me to speak in tongues over you. And the guy said, I don't know what you're calling tongues. He said, that was my language. I've not heard that language since I was a kid. That's the way I was raised. And Tyler said, what did you hear? And that man was hearing, are you ready? I made sure to get you here tonight because I have an experience for you. Are you ready for me to fill you with my Spirit? That's why the man was nodding his head. Yeah. I don't quite understand this, but I want it. And you may be in this room today saying, I don't quite understand what you're talking about, Pastor Darrell, but I can't argue with what I feel in this room. What you feel is not the result of me. What you feel is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a stretch. It's not a stretch from where you are to all that God has for you. Would you just lift your hands right where you are? Lord. Woo. Lord, I don't want to miss what you have for me. I'm not running from what you have for me. Lord, I receive what you have for me.